Welcome to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers, your host for the program. I'm joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. This is podcast number 21, March 11th, 2006. We had just witnessed the qualifying session. We'll be talking about yesterday's practice session. Today's the first day for F1 Weekly to cover the F1 season for 2006. Steve, how are you today?
Good morning, Clark. Freezing my nanas off here in the garage, but other than that, doing pretty good.
What do you mean, garage? Long day yesterday. This is Studio G.
Studio G, yes. I'm still freezing.
Well, that was a pretty interesting practice session yesterday.
Definitely an interesting practice session. Poor Kimi just doesn't have any luck.
Now, yesterday, Kimi had an electronic problem, and Juan Pablo was crying about his motor.
Well, that motor was working pretty good today.
Today it was, but yesterday he was saying he was like 7 kilometers an hour down on Kimi, and he was insisting on a motor change. And the final headline out of McLaren was, "You're not getting a new motor. Shut up. Get back to work."
Exactly. Drive the car, kid.
But Honda looked good yesterday. Renault looked great. And some of the talk was about Toro Rosso having the V10, possibly making it into the top 10.
They looked quick yesterday in practice. They weren't quite so quick in qualifying.
No. And let's just jump right to qualifying. And that new format was pretty exciting.
That was definitely interesting. Definitely a lot more drama than we were seeing in the one-lap qualifying last season.
I completely agree. I mean, there was always something happening. The breaks were pretty small in between each qualifying session. And I was stunned. There were some surprises, some non-surprises. Ide and Takuma Sato were like 3 seconds to 4 seconds off the pace right from the start.
Yeah,
they didn't look very good. I'm still thinking, should have they waited another year? But we'll see when their new car comes out. When the races hit the European sessions.
Yeah, they're going to be so far back. If they're going to be 3 seconds off the pace, they're going to get that's going to be lapped in like 15 laps.
Yeah, but we'll see during the race on Sunday if they actually become a problem on the track. But they are slow, and they're looking pretty bad.
Maybe they'll black flag them.
I was also surprised to see the first 10 out
Some of those were a bit of a surprise.
Ralph Schumacher?
Yep.
Christian Albers? Montero? And Raikkonen.
Yeah, well,
Huge, stunning surprise. It looks like he had a rear drive shaft failure that broke the wing and the rear wing and
just destroyed that right rear.
Exactly. Stunning.
Though it was kind of fascinating, the fact that he was able to actually drive it back to the pit. That was pretty.
He did limp it back to the pits. It was unbelievable. But once again, Raikkonen's karma, it just always seems to be on the side of disaster.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have any karma.
So, I to a certain extent, we've seen Raikkonen go through so much trauma for so long now that it's almost not surprising.
No, especially after last season where it's like, you know, he was leading a race and the front suspension destroys itself and just all the little things that were causing him to fall off pace.
Exactly. So to summarize the first session, Ide's out, Ralf Schumacher's out, Christian Albers is out, Montero is out, Takuma Sato is out, and Kimi Raikkonen is out. So the new format is exciting. I like it. And after 5 minutes of a break, the second session starts, and it's pretty exciting. 16 cars hit the track, and Montoya looked pretty good. Renault looked pretty good. Alonso got P1 in the first session and winds up with P1 in the second session. Quite impressive.
Yeah, I think just from the way things turned out, that Ferrari was sandbagging a little bit in that second session. Actually, in both sessions, since Schumacher, I think, was sixth in both the first and second sessions.
Exactly. Also, Nico Rosberg spins it, but is able to get back on the track for the Williams team. Mark Webber was looking pretty quick. Jacques Villeneuve, not specifically outstanding, but okay. Nick Heinfeld was looking very, very excellent. And David Coulthard was struggling. Toro Rosso had survived the first session and do not survive the second session.
Just couldn't keep pace.
David Coulthard gets knocked out of the second session, but Christian Kleen survives to last and to make it to the final third session. I thought it was very interesting how the cars managed the traffic really, really well. In the first section, when Kimi Raikkonen had his suspension failure, it took a lot of time to get things cleaned up, and all of a sudden, all the cars were queued up in the pit lane, ready to go out.
And they had like 3 minutes to complete their fast laps.
And they only had 3 minutes left. Very interesting, but it was all managed really, really well, quite professional. And I think that's the best part about this qualifying format is you sort of clean up the field with the first session and you get the junk out, so to speak.
Yeah, or get all the slugs.
Yeah. No insult intended, of course.
No insult. Just they're slow.
But the second session was good, but both Toyotas are out after the second session. And when you spend almost $500 million a year, heads are going to roll.
Yeah, something's going on there. That they're obviously not getting their money's worth if they can't get a car into the top 10.
David Coulthard complained about the single lap qualifying last year, time and time again. But once again, he fails to get the car in the third session, and David Coulthard is knocked out of the second session.
What was interesting, they were talking about it yesterday in the practice session, that the Red Bull drivers were not exceptionally happy with the condition of the car and how well it was running. So that kind of carries on into the qualifying session and how not so great they competed.
Yes, but Christian Albers does survive.
Yeah.
Oh, or I'm sorry, Christian Kleen.
Christian Kleen,
my apologies to everyone.
Did get into the top 10.
Christian Kleen does make it into the top 10 in the final third session.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that Red Bull car's not necessarily suited well to David Coulthard's driving style.
Exactly. Now, one thing that I didn't know about the qualifying sessions, that the teams are allowed to change tires at their will, whenever they feel like it, and we saw a lot of that in the third session as they were burning off fuel because they started the third session with their race fuel load. A lot of them were burning off fuel and coming in at the very end to change tires, which made sense. Also, I want to note that even though Juan Pablo Montoya was complaining quite strongly about his motor on Friday and wanted an engine change, apparently it looks like McLaren did the right thing. He didn't need an engine change because he qualifies,
fifth
in the second session.
I'm not sure how he competed.
No, I think he was in the top three in the second session.
Yeah, he was. He may have been second.
Okay, and Renault was looking quite spiffy in the second session with P1, and even Giancarlo Fisichella was looking quite well. But a number of cars dropped out. We saw Toro Rosso out. The V10 drama about being a little heavy on torque and maybe outdoing some of the V8s was absolutely wrong. The restrictions on the V10 seem to be fair and adequate. I think they would have done worse if they had a V8, but Toro Rosso did look good. Also, I want to talk about Toro Rosso's livery that first came out on practice yesterday. Quite stunning. I think it was somewhat predictable. I predicted that the whole car would look like a bull, and sure enough,
yep,
that's what they came up with.
Yeah, and, after all the hype from the drivers, I wasn't impressed.
So
it's a nice livery, but it's not, it's not earth-shattering.
So in the second session, Ferrari looks very, very good. Juan Pablo Montoya is holding his own with having to really, he's got to take care of it for McLaren. Ron Dennis is going to cry if he doesn't.
Well, Kimi back in the back of the field with the inability of the McLaren to keep running, he's going to be hard-pressed to come up the field like he was doing last season.
We'll see. It depends. I don't know. The McLaren looks pretty quick, and with a full fuel load, I think he can do some some good progress.
Yeah, but he won't run with a full fuel load because he's going to be going back for tires.
I understand. But that's true. I forget. Yes, another part of the strategy. But once Raikkonen was knocked out, the strategy did change for the whole day, I think, for some teams.
Oh, definitely.
But anyway, let's go to the third session where there are some surprises. And Michael Schumacher, sure enough, takes pole position and breaks the everlasting 65 pole positions held by Ayrton Senna. One of the final records that Schumacher, I don't think, was striving to break, but inevitably it is done.
Yeah, if you race long enough, and as well as Michael has, you're eventually going to eclipse that number.
Exactly. Now, I was happy for Felipe Massa. He's a decent driver. He's got a good car, and he got P2. And
he was
overjoyed.
Actually pushing Schumacher, too, in that last session.
I think he's going to start crying a little bit today when it finally hits him that he's in a competitive car. And I don't think he's going to win a race, not at the beginning of this season, but he certainly is going to get some podiums.
Oh, definitely.
P3 goes to Jenson Button. The Hondas do look quick.
They do.
No engine blow-ups during quali or practice that I know of.
Nope.
So the biggest drama was Kimi Raikkonen. I was surprised. P4 went to Fernando Alonso. Who had fifth?
Mr. Juan Pablo Montoya.
Juan Pablo Montoya got fifth. Go ahead, Steve. Finish up the top
Rubens,
10.
Rubens in sixth in the Honda. Mark Webber, seventh in the Williams. Number eight was Christian Kleen in the Red Bull. Number nine, Juan Carlos Fisichella, Fizzy in the Renault. And then number 10, Nick Heidfeld in the BMW. Kind of like the fact that a lot of the second-tier teams have cars in the top 10. That's really nice.
Exactly. And I'm sort of stunned on what young Carlo Fisichella was thinking. Apparently, Flavio Briatore went on the telephone. I mean, the headset. Hello? He went on the headset and told him to start burning fuel and pick up the pace and push.
Well, stop
during
conserving
the last
fuel
few minutes. Yeah,
here.
He was telling him to stop conserving fuel because he saw a problem already on the times and the amount of fuel he was conserving for some reason. I don't know, young Carlo Fisichella might have lost track of what was going on. But sure enough, he didn't burn off enough fuel because that was a lot of the team's strategy in the last session is to burn fuel. They came in about 3 minutes before the end of the third session, changed tires, which is what Ferrari did, and Renault went back out. And let's give the credit to Michael Schumacher. Blistering speed, unbelievable. Really, really, the car looks really smooth on the track, not too much oversteer or understeer. And I'm sure Ferrari and Ross Brawn and Jean Todt will be very pleased with their performance so far.
Will now, be interesting to find out whether or not they were running light on fuel.
I think they're running very light on fuel, but they tend to run light on fuel occasionally when they're striving for a pole position. Don't forget that this Ferrari front row is not only important in terms of trying to win the race, but the morale at the team after going through 2005.
Yes, very
had
important.
Some problems. It was a bit dismal. And more than anything, I think this gives them a big emotional uplifting to really help them and carry through the season. And I think Fisichella had a larger fuel load. I think Alonso will have a really good start, as Renault always does. So I expect Alonso to pass Jenson Button, pass Felipe Massa, and push Michael Schumacher. But we know Michael Schumacher will not make any mistakes, and that could go on quite a bit.
That it should make for a very interesting race tomorrow.
I think it's going to be a very exciting race tomorrow. Everyone. Also,
let me bring up one of the interesting anomalies in this new format in the fact that the number 11th qualifying car has a time that was fast enough to actually qualify 7th.
Exactly. So,
and in fact, the top three, the 11th, 12th, and 13th positions would have actually displaced four of the cars in the top in the first 10.
Once they topped off with fuel, the times dropped dramatically.
Oh, definitely.
So when you're talking three kilograms of fuel per lap, you can understand why those lap times start dropping. So I think Fisichella sort of lost his head and didn't burn off enough fuel. He should have pushed a little harder, and he paid for it. I think Alonso will have a great start. I'm not worried about him. Kimi Raikkonen is going to probably start at the back of the field. They tried to get the T car ready for him to try to get in some qualifying time, but they gave up. They said they realized that they didn't have enough time. So Kimi will be starting at the bottom of the grid.
Yeah, the time is just too compressed. I think you'd have to have that T car set up ready to go, and they didn't have it set up and ready to go.
And to be honest with you, there was no way they could foresee this coming. McLaren had good hopes for today's qualifying, and I think the McLaren shows some promise. Even though a lot of the talk in the paddock was that they're having some problems, they're struggling. A suspension failure was the last thing we expected.
Yeah.
So even though the problem with the McLaren, it's still a brittle piece of machinery, and they need to get that rectified. Once again, reliability is your key. You got to be in the race, but you got to finish the race.
Yep, reliability is king. If you don't finish, you don't win.
I was pretty excited about the whole thing. Steve, I guess we're going to wrap it up. We want to tell our listeners that we are attending the A1 Grand Prix at Laguna Seca in Monterey, California this weekend, as well as covering the Bahrain race via the television. And we're a bit exhausted.
Yeah, I'm getting a little
and
tired.
And we might sound a little cranky. And it's also freezing in Northern California right now, which is a little bit unusual. We're not used to this. There's snow on the hills that usually never have snow.
Yeah, and it's staying. It's persisting. We'll usually see it for a day, but
yeah, there was even snow in San Francisco. So there you have it. But this was our first qualifying podcast. I'm pretty beat.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of tired. But just to our listeners, write us a mail. Let us know how you like how we handled this. Is there more that you'd like to hear? Less that you know? Do you want just numbers? What do you want? Do you like what we just did? Let us know.
Thanks, everyone, and we'll be back tomorrow for race coverage of the beginning of the season for 2006. A Ferrari front row. Good night, Steve.
Good night, Clark. Good night, Dave, wherever you are.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.